أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين اللهم صل على محمد. Verse number 144 قد نرى تقلب وجهك في السماء فلنولينك قبلة ترضاها فولي وجهك شطر المسجد الحرام وحيثما كنتم فولوا وجوهكم شطره وإن الذين أوتوا الكتاب ليعلمون أنه الحق من ربهم وما الله بغافل عما يعملون. We certainly see you turning your face about in the sky. We'll surely turn you to a qibla of your liking. So turn your face towards the holy mosque, and wherever you may be, turn your faces towards it. Indeed, those who were given the book surely know that it is the truth from their Lord, and Allah is not oblivious of what they do. This is the core verse about the change of the qibla, where very explicitly Prophet, peace be upon him, is advised and instructed to turn his qibla from Jerusalem towards Kaaba. Now, the term qad nara implies repetition. We are seeing that you repeatedly turn your face towards the sky, waiting probably for revelation, or asking us that we instruct you to change your qibla. We have in one hadith that after the Jews started to somehow criticize the Prophet about his qibla, which I will talk about it a bit later, the Prophet was very distraught, and he wanted really a new revelation to come about the qibla. And Jibreel came to him, but once they brought revelation, and he asked Jibreel that, "I want to change the qibla towards Mecca." And actually he said, "Ask Allah to instruct me for that." And Jibreel said, "You pray." And after the Prophet prayed, then Jibreel came and revealed this verse. Now, this is not the full story. The full story is that it took some time, because the term qad nara means you are repeatedly doing it, and we are seeing it. We are seeing that you are repeatedly turning your face towards the sky. تَقَلَّبَ وَجْهَكَ فِي السَّمَاءِ. And then it says, فَلَنُوَلِّيَنَّكَ قِبْلَةً تَرْضَاهَا. We will turn you towards a qibla that you are pleased with it, that you like it. Apparently, why Prophet was so concerned about this matter was probably when he entered Medina, the encounter with the Jews made him concerned about the Qibla. He was in Mecca for 13 years. He was quite happy turning to Jerusalem, praying his Salat. Nothing was wrong there, and Prophet was not actually asking Allah to turn the Qibla towards Kaaba while he was in Mecca. Apparently, in these 17 months, they say it was 2 months before the Battle of Badr that this happened. In these 17 months, the arguments, debates between Jews and Muslims, somehow made the Prophet very unhappy. And what we can guess is that the Jews were telling the Muslims that, look, you are an offshoot of our religion. You follow our qibla, you follow our forefathers, all your prominent people that the Quran mentions are our prophets. So just like some so-called scholars today say, Western scholars say that Islam is an heretical offshoot of Judaism and Christianity, we can guess that they were saying the same thing. This is a wrong version of Judaism that you are following. You are following everything that we follow, but you follow a new prophet, so it's a heretical version of Judaism. And this made Prophet very unhappy. He wanted that independent identity for Muslims there. And that's why he was facing, turning his face towards sky, towards up to somehow, in a way, asking Allah to change the Qibla. And فَلَنُوَلِّيَنَّكَ قِبْلَةً تَرْضَاهَا, we turn you towards a Qibla that you like, shows how Prophet was in favor of Kaaba to be the Qibla, because it was, of course, the building of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Some people, as we discussed last week, may have said that it was the Qibla of Ibrahim alayhi salam himself, and therefore he was very much in favor of Kaaba to be the Qibla. So we turn you to a Qibla that you like. It's very interesting that here Allah is following the liking of his prophets. And a Qibla that you like, a Qibla that you are pleased with, we command all the Muslims, we instruct all the Muslims to turn their face towards this place. فَلَنُوَلِّيَنَّكَ قِبْلَةً تَرْضَاهَا. And what is this Qibla that the Prophet likes? Is, of course, Kaaba. فَوَلِّ وَجْهَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجَدَ الْحَرَامِ. So turn your face towards Shatr, means Jaha, Shatr al-Masjid al-Haram, in the direction of Masjid al-Haram. Now there's this discussion that what is the Qibla? Is the Qibla Masjid al-Haram or Kaaba itself? Here, of course, it says فَوَلِّ وَجْهَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجَدِ الْحَرَامِ. Masjid al-Haram is not a sort of fixed area, because Masjid al-Haram has been expanded very much since the beginning. Why Masjid al-Haram is mentioned? Apparently because facing towards Qibla accurately, towards Kaaba accurately, is not possible. It's just a small place. And that's why we have in narrations that the Kaaba is the Qibla of those who are inside Masjid al-Haram. Masjid al-Haram is the Qibla of those who are in Haram. And Haram is the Qibla of those who are praying from far away. Why? Because it's impossible to actually face towards that small area. And this shows that the direction is important, not accurately actually going in a direct line towards Kaaba. Masjid al-Haram, since the Prophet is in Medina, he's told to face towards Masjid al-Haram because it's a bigger area. So, فَوَلِّ وَجْهَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. Apparently, no exegete has ever doubted that the Qibla is not Masjid al-Haram itself. Qibla is Kaaba, but because Kaaba is in Masjid al-Haram, so the Prophet is told to فَوَلِّ وَجْهَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. وَحَيْثُمَا كُنْتُمْ فَوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ شَطْرًا. Now, this is a general legislation. Not because you are in Medina, you face towards Masjid al-Haram. Wherever you are on the earth, you face towards Masjid al-Haram for prayers. وَإِنَّ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابِ لَيَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّهُ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ. Those who are given the book, means the Jews mainly, of course, because there's no discussion here with Christians, those who are given the book, they know that this is haq from their Lord. Now, what is innahu refers to what? To this instruction, which is change of Qibla, or to the Prophet, or to the Quran. Apparently it means that they know that it is haq. It was in their books, as we have in many narrations, that the last prophet would pray towards two qiblas. He will have two qiblas. Yusalli al-qiblatayn. He will have two qiblas. And now that you have turned from Jerusalem to Mecca, Ahlul Kitab should remain in no doubt that you are the prophet of the promised prophet, the last prophet. You are the last prophet, and you are promised, you are the one who is promised to come at the end of the time. So if actually we had not changed your Qibla, there would have remained always this doubt, And this question for Ahlul Kitab, that if he is the promised, prophet, why he doesn't change his Qibla, why he has prayed only in one Qibla, not in two Qibla. So they know that it is haq from your Lord. يَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّهُ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ أَمَّا يَعْمَلُونَ. And now that they are rejecting and they are criticizing, instead of this change of Qibla adds to their faith in you and adds to their the evidence for your prophethood, they are rejecting you, criticizing you for that. So Allah is not oblivious of what they are doing. وَاللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ أَمَّا يَعْمَلُونَ. There are a couple of things here to be mentioned. First of all, they say that Prophet was praying in the mosque of Banu Salama when this revelation came down. And he was in the middle of Zuhr prayer. And also it's mentioned that other Muslims, some other Muslims, like Banu al-Ashal and others, they also, when they were praying, the news reached them in the middle of the prayer and they turned. However, we now focus on Prophet's prayer, not others, because it's very far-fetched to think that someone comes and informs Muslims who are praying in a mosque that the Qibla has changed, and then they believe, they accept, and in the middle of prayer they turn. That is not very accept. That doesn't sound very right. But what is certainly acceptable is that in the middle of Zuhr prayer, Jibreel brought this revelation to the Prophet, and he turned his face, because to determine clearly what is the direction of Masjid al-Haram, it needed that help of Jibreel to show the Prophet which is the direction of Masjid al-Haram. He turned him towards Masjid al-Haram in the middle of Zuhr prayer. Now, how did it happen? The narrations say that it happened in this way, that the men, when they changed, when Prophet turned, everyone turned. And when everyone turned, the men were actually now in place of women, and women in place of men. When the women were praying behind men, and when everyone turned, the women now were in front and the men were at the back. And Prophet, peace be on him, now this is the question, where was the Prophet now? Was he leading the prayer at the very back? And while, for example, when he said Allahu Akbar, everyone went to ruku and sujood, or while he was turned, Jibreel actually made him walk to the other direction and he led the prayer in front. While in those two rak'ahs of prayer, the men were praying behind women. Now, whatever the case, we know that this happened. But since most of the narrations mention this very sentence, that men were now placed in the position of women and women were placed in the position of men when the Qibla was changed and they turned, then this question comes, did women pray in masjid at that time? Because now we have this hadith that the best place for women for salat is their house, isn't it? There's this hadith that says that خَيْرُ مَسَاجِدَ نِسَائِكُمْ الْبُيُوتِ. The best masjid for your women is their house. And this, of course, we have in Risalas. However, Sayyid Ali Akbar al-Qurashi, when he is discussing this, and he himself was a faqih and a very learned scholar, he says that putting all these narrations about the masjid of the Prophet in the way the Sahaba were praying, taking their women to the mosque, we understand from خَيْرُ مَسَاجِدَ نِسَائِكُمْ الْبُيُوتِ, the best place for, the best masjid of your women is their house, is for Forada prayer. That it's not good for a woman to go to mosque for Forada prayer. But for Jama'ah, it's fine because this very sentence, قَامَ الرَّجَالِ مَقَامَ النِّسَاءَ وَالنِّسَاءَ مَقَامَ الرَّجَالِ, as I mentioned, the women were placed in the position of men and vice versa, has been narrated very widely. And this shows that women were praying in Jama'ah at the time of the Prophet. And then he mentions a couple of other evidence that, for example, we have this hadith that Juwaybah, who was one of the companions of the Prophet, usually went to mosque with his wife. And also, it is very widely reported that at the beginning of Ba'tha, the Prophet went to Masjid al-Haram, used to pray while only Khadija and Imam Ali alayhi salam were praying behind him. And that's another evidence that it was, of course, fine for Khadija to go to Masjid and pray with the Prophet. And there are other evidence that he mentions. Anyhow, this is a fiqh matter, but the fact that we have in our narrations that Khayru Masajid Nisa'ikum al-Buyut, being put beside this anecdote about the change of Qibla, would tell us that probably that hadith has a different meaning than what we understand about women not being mustahab to go to mosque and pray congregational prayer. Now, verse number 145. وَلَئِنْ أَتَيْتَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ بِكُلِّ آيَةٍ مَا تَبِعُوا قِبْلَتَكَ وَمَا أَنْتَ بِتَابِعٍ قِبْلَتَهُمْ وَمَا بَعْضُهُمْ بِتَابِعٍ قِبْلَةَ بَعْضٍ وَلَئِنِ اتَّبَعْتَ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَكَ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِنَّكَ إِذًا لَمِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. Even if you bring those who were given the book every kind of sign, they will not follow your Qibla, nor shall you follow their Qibla, nor will any of them follow the Qibla of the other. And if you follow their desires after the knowledge that has come to you, you will indeed be one of the wrongdoers. Now, if you bring the Ahlul Kitab بكل آيةٍ, كل آيةٍ means every argument, every evidence. You exhaust all the arguments saying that this is right. Since they know it already that it's right, since they know that you have to do it because it is one of the signs of the prophet, the last prophet, so they are not going to follow your Qibla. Again, this verse tells us that the arguments were continuing going on. That's about the change of Qibla. The arguments were continuing, and Muslims were trying to convince Ahlul Kitab that it doesn't matter, our Prophet is instructed by Allah and bringing evidence, and the Quran says that even if you bring every evidence, they are not going to follow. Why? Because they are not in lack of evidence. They are actually in denial. And when someone is in denial, then evidence would not help. وَلَئِنْ أَتَيْتَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ بِكُلِّ آيَةٍ مَا تَبِعُوا قِبْلَتَكَ. Now, وَمَا أَنْتَ بِتَابِعٍ قِبْلَتَهِمْ means that you are not going to change this instruction. These arguments is actually leading nowhere, since you are not changing your Qibla after this has been instructed, and it is repeated in these sets of verses a couple of times that this is a firm instruction, it's not going to change. And since they are not going to accept it, then this is the end of discussion. There's no discussion anymore. وَلَئِنْ أَتَيْتَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ بِكُلِّ آيَةٍ مَا تَبِعُوا قِبْلَتَكَ وَمَا أَنْتَ بِتَابِعٍ قِبْلَتَهُمْ. Now, then it says, well, they themselves have difference in their Qibla. Apparently, the Qibla of Jews and Christians were different at the time. One of the main issues that we have to bear in mind all the time when we read the Quran about the Ahlul Kitab is that we don't know what type of books, what version of Torah, what version of Gospel they were reading at the time. And sometimes we see things in the Quran which does not tally very, very well with the present Torah and Injil. And this means that the version that they had, and we have evidence that, for example, the Christians of the area, they were following Mariamia sect of Christianity, which who believed Mariam was also a goddess. As Jesus was a god, Mariam was god as well, as goddess as well. So the type of book they were reading were different from the Gospels of today. And this verse shows that the Jews and Christians were following different qiblas. And actually it says that if they regard themselves to be right, so if they follow different qiblas, you are following another qibla, it doesn't matter, as the following verses mentions. Now, وَمَا أَنْتَ بِتَابِئٍ قِبْلَتَهُمْ وَلَئِنِ اتَّبَعْتَ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَكَ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِنَّكَ إِذًا لَمِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. Now, this, if you follow their qibla after knowledge has come to you, if you follow their desires, it's not, of course, it's addressing the Prophet, but, of course, meaning the Muslims. Because the argument was mainly going between Muslims and Jews. You know, when a leader decides something, usually people don't go to argue with the people, with a leader. It's the followers that argue with other people. And therefore, here the Muslims and Jews were arguing with each other. And sometimes the argument of the Jews were so compelling for Muslims that they were thinking, are we right? So why should have we changed our qibla? We should follow their qibla. They are right. We shouldn't have changed. So it says, if you follow their desires, then you are from zalimin. As I said, it's addressed to the Prophet, but what is meant are the Muslims. Alladhina, another argument by Allah, the verse, next verse, Alladhina آتيناهم الكتاب يعرفونه كما يعرفون أبناءهم. Those whom we have given the book recognize him or it just as they recognize their sons. But a part of them indeed conceal the truth while they know. Now, يعرفونه, they know him as they know their sons, especially after the change of qibla, because apparently it was very clear in their books that the last prophet would pray towards two qiblas. This has come as a sort of recognizing mark for them. They know him, the prophet, as they know their sons. Now that all these things have happened, all the descriptions are there, they know him as they know their sons. And one knows their son, of course, very closely. Or this ya'rifunahu may refer to the change of qibla. They know this change of qibla is right. It was mentioned in their books, so they know it as they know their sons. However, inna fariqan minhum la yaktumun al-haq. However, a group of them, they conceal the truth. This is the style of the Quran. Always when the Quran talks about Ahlul Kitab, criticizes them, always makes a caveat. No, it's not about all of them. There are some who follow Haq. There are some who worship Allah. There are some who follow the truth. So, إِنَّ فَرِيقًا مِنْهُمْ لَا يَكْتُمُونَ الْحَقِ. A group of them conceal the truth. Means that there are other groups who do not conceal it, and they actually converted to Islam, some of them even after this change of qibla. So not everyone concealed the truth. Some of them, they conceal the truth while they know that they are concealing it, not unknowingly. Sometimes we reject a faith unknowingly. We reject an idea unknowingly. The Quran says they know and they reject. So their, of course, responsibility is much greater. Al-haqqu min rabbik. This change of qibla is haqq from your Lord, فَلَا تَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْمُمْتَرِينَ. So you should be in no doubt. Again, confirming the idea. As I said, all these emphasis shows how difficult it was, the situation between Muslims and the Jews at the time of change of Qibla. And then Allah says, end this argument. This is a very trivial matter. Why you argue on this matter so much? وَلِكُلِّنْ وَجْهَةٌ هُوَ مُوَلِّيهَا فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. For every nation, there is a qibla that Allah has made them. Now, هُوَ مُوَلِّيهَا is هُوَ. If هُوَ refers to Allah, it means Allah has instructed them to face towards that qibla. Or is, if هُوَ means for, refers to people, and for every people or for every individual among the people, there is a qibla that he is turning towards it. It means that, of course, the same thing. Allah has instructed them, so they follow that qibla. This is not important. What is important is that you compete in doing good things. You compete in virtues. Not you argue about which direction we have to face. Or as I said last week, which day is Eid or which day is not Eid. This is not, this is trivial. This is not something very important. What is important is after you face towards the Qibla that Allah has instructed you, you compete with each other in khairat, in virtues, not in the direction of your Qibla. This is mentioned in other places of the Quran as well, especially in Surah Baqarah. لَيْسَ الْبِرُّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. Virtue is not that you turn your face towards east or west. This is what Allah instructs you. Okay, Allah instructs the Jews to or the Prophet for some time to face towards Jerusalem. Now he instructs to turn towards Mecca. This is not important. وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. Virtue is faith in Allah, is faith in the day of judgment, is faith in the angels, then in charity giving, then in being perseverant, then in having patience. These are the virtues that Allah mentions. So do not be so nitpicking on this matter. لِكُلِّنْ وَجْهَةٌ هُوَ مُوَلِّيهَا فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. So you compete in virtues. Lead in all good works each other. And in a way, Allah says that this qibla is a conventional matter. It's not something which is related to real virtue of the soul. The real virtue of the soul is something that you have to compete with each other. This is something conventional. I have to give Muslims an independent identity so that now the Jews do not claim again that you are a heretical offshoot of Judaism. This is what I have instructed them to do. But what is important is that istibaqul khayrat aynama takunu ya'ti bikum Allahu jami'a. Wherever you are, whichever direction you pray, wherever on the earth you may be, Allah will gather you one day. يَأْتِ بِكُمُ اللَّهُ جَمِيعًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. So the final, actually, the final verse which finishes the argument is this verse number 148. Although after this, the instruction is repeated again. Now, after we have ended this argument, again, the instruction towards the to the direction of prayer is repeated for Muslims now, not for argument anymore. Now, regarding this aynama takunu ya'ti bikum Allahu jami'a, in Tafsir al-Burhan there are about 14 narrations from Ayyama alayhi salam, which says that this is about Ashabul Mahdi fi akhir al-zaman, when those 313 people are scattered around the world, and then when Mahdi reappears, how are they informed? And how can they go to help Imam Mahdi alayhi salam? We have in narrations that doesn't Allah says aynama takunu ya'ti bikum Allahu jami'a, wherever you are Allah will bring you together. And this is about that. Now, we have to bear in mind, as I have mentioned before, this is ta'wil of the verse, it's not tafsir of the verse. And ta'wil, one of the meanings of ta'wil is that we apply a verse to a new situation, or we apply the verse to a new meaning, which is applicable, of course, but is not the tafsir of the verse. It is, if you look at it, it is, of course, completely out of context. The context is very clear. You pray, wherever on the earth you are, pray to your directions, and wherever you may be, Allah will eventually gather you to himself. However, the verse is, of course, quite applicable to a situation like the situation of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, where, of course, those 313 people are scattered around the earth, and when Imam reappears, how does he inform them to come? The A'imma have said that Allah will bring it together in one way or another. أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُوا يَعْتَبِكُمُ اللَّهَ جَمِيعًا. In fact, the verse is used as an evidence of power of Allah for that situation as well. And therefore, it's a ta'wil, it's not a tafsir, it does not contradict what the Exodus have said. And sometimes the confusion comes in the mind of the followers of Shia commentaries, especially the commentaries based on narration, that the interpretation of A'imma is different from the general interpretation of the Quran. While it's not, the ta'wil that A'imma give is actually application of the verse in a different situation, is nothing to do with the tafsir. Now, verse 149, actually, after all those discussions, again renews the instruction, and this shows that how important this is. This is a firm decision. There is no change in it. وَمِنْ حَيْثُ خَرَجْتَ فَوَلِّ وَجْهَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. Whichsoever you may go out, or مِنْ حَيْثُ خَرَجْتَ means wherever on the earth you are, in whichever city you are, you turn your face towards مَسْجِدُ الْحَرَامِ. وَإِنَّهُ لَلْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكَ. So this is something haq. This is something good. This gives you an independent identity. This gives you a sort of unity of community, that wherever you are, you face towards Qibla. This is haq from your Lord. وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ أَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ. You know, when I was talking about the Ahlul Kitab, says, وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ أَمَّا يَعْمَلُونَ. Now, مَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ أَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ means when you are, for example, in a far place, far away place, don't think that Allah doesn't see that which direction you are praying, which is very clear for us nowadays, of course. وَمِنْ حَيْثُ خَرَجْتَ فَوَلِّ وَجْهَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ وَحَيْثُ مَا كُنْتُمْ فَوَلُّ وُجُوهَكُمْ شَطْرَ. This is repetition to mention one new thing. لَأَلَّا يَكُونَ لِلنَّاسِ عَلَيْكُمْ حُجَّةٌ. So that people have no argument against you. Inshallah, we will discuss what this means next week. وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
Thank you, Majid Sheikh. So we got about 15-20 minutes to further the discussion, clarify any points. Any brothers, sisters? Yes. Two portions of what we discussed today. One is turning your face towards Qibla. But this second one, can I ask first, if I read it in plain English, it sounds like when I'm coming out of the house, I should face Qibla, and actually connected to the verse before that, then I should actually be praying. You see, what comes across here is that you are supposed to offer prayers. So the Jews used to pray, the Christians used to pray, and now the Muslims are supposed to pray. But when you say prayer, does it actually mean salat? At that time it was two rakats, yes? So congregational prayers. So can we take it that the Jews and the Christians also had congregational prayers of some sort that they would have to do?
Yes, certainly. I mean, the Jews even to have daily prayers now, and they had daily prayers at the time, very similar to our prayer, actually, with many ruku'ah they have. The Christians have congregations, of course, and in their congregations, especially at that time, they built their churches or the altar in a particular direction. So yes, of course, this is min haythu kharaj. That doesn't mean wherever you go out of your house. It means wherever you travel. Min haythu kharaj, I mean wherever you travel, then from that place that you are traveling, face towards Masjid al-Haram. And this is, of course, for prayers. It's very clear it's for prayer, yes.
So in that case, how different is this prayer to somebody who actually supplicates as opposed to... You see, now the prayers have been prescribed. So they're not necessarily a way of asking God for something. It's a matter of God.
This is salah. This is about salah.
Exactly, yeah. Yes. So you have been ordained. You've been told to do this.
Yes.
Now, to me, from these verses, it's totally different from somebody who is in trouble and who is actually asking for help from Allah. Is that not two different things, and can that not be applied that
That's
way?
Dua. The Quran actually uses two terms for it. As we use two terms, we use prayer and we use supplication, isn't it? And by prayer, because in English prayer means both dua and salat, and literally in Arabic is the same as well, but we have to distinguish between prayer and supplication as we distinguish between salat and dua. Ud'uni astajib lakum, call me. It's different than salat, which is the formal prayers.
Thank you. Any sisters? No? Doctor?
But in need of knowledge about the reaction of Ahlul Kitab, because some verses in the Quran say that Ahlul Kitab have like followed or agreed. Like, for instance, in Surah Al-Ankabut, it said, وَكَذَلِكَ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ فَالَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِ وَمِنْ هَؤُلَاءِ مَنْ يُؤْمِنُ بِهِ وَمَا يَجْحَدُ بِآيَاتِنَا إِلَّا الْكَافِرُونَ. While in other places, like the ones that you've just mentioned, some of Ahlul Kitab believe and some don't. And of course, from the historical perspective, it's obvious that many of them didn't believe. Some of them believed. So how do we account for the different descriptions of the reaction of Ahlul Kitab, like in Surah Al-Ankabut, where it said, فَالَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِ.
As I said, there's always a caveat when the Quran talks about Ahlul Kitab, that there is a group among Ahlul Kitab who believe, and there is a group who do not believe. وَمِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ أُمَّةٌ قَائِمَةٌ. Qa'imah means those who really practice. There's a practicing group among Ahlul Kitab. And by practicing doesn't mean just practicing the ritual, practicing the real faith, which of course they have to believe in the Prophet, peace be upon him. So there are two groups of Ahlul Kitab. And in those verses where Ahlul Kitab are mentioned as those, وَالَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِ, those to whom we have given the book. Usually those to whom you have given the book is mentioned in here, not Ahlul Kitab. Because Ahlul Kitab is general. Means those who have given the knowledge of the book, they believe in it. Those who have real knowledge of the book, they believe in it. But others from Ahlul Kitab, they don't, or those who try to conceal, those who have vested interest, they do not believe. So there are always two groups. And even if we have that very general, that's وَالَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِ, it is restricted or explained by other verses, which, and by the historical fact that, of course, Ahlul Kitab did not believe. So there is a group who believes, there is a group who doesn't believe.
Thank you. Sisters? No. Brother?
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Alaykum
In the, you mentioned that the Ahl-e-Kitab, the Jews, didn't accept, although their books had said about the prophet would have, the last prophet would have these two qiblas. Is that evidence? Has anybody checked that that is still in their books? This bit about the last prophet having two qiblas?
I haven't seen anyone mention it from Torah now. So this shows that it was in that Torah that they had.
So they may have deleted it. Or so
maybe, yeah.
Thank you. Any sisters? Any other brother? Sheikh, now the change of the Qibla, the way you explain it means that it was 180-degree change.
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, because Jerusalem was towards the north and Mecca was towards the south.
Fine. And we had heard that when the Qibla was changed, the only person who changed with the Prophet was Imam Ali, and others were confused. Is that authentic, or how far was that?
Well, how is it possible? Sorry, you can judge yourself. How is it possible that the only person was Imam Ali and no one else followed?
Well, that's what we had heard. That Imam Ali was the one who followed the Prophet because he knew what was happening. Others were a little bit confused.
No, I don't know. I haven't seen it anywhere.
Thanks for clarifying, because that is what... I don't know. If others heard about that, that's what I was asking. Thank you.
My knowledge is restricted to what I read, you know?
No, that's very good. That's very good, because we are not extrapolating like, you know, we usually the Shias do too.
Yeah, we said last week, some of the Muslims, the bulk of the companions, those.
No, I'm not pointing to that. I'm saying that. I'm saying.
So we've had people who are enthusiastically saying these things from the
memory
of this.
Yeah.
Exaggerating, yes.
Thank you. Any other sisters or brothers? Sheikh, when we talk about the. Sorry about the. Qibla, you know, generally, when we look up the Qibla, we tend to take, say, for example, here, we tend to take the shortest distance from here to Kaaba.
Yes.
Now, there may be a point, there are points on the earth where there will be equidistance. So where do we, direction we?
You can do both ways. No problem.
But then here, if you were, that is the Qibla that we have taken, even here, if you were to pray that way, I mean, it's a circle, and so it will be in this direction that will hit the Masjid al-Haram, won't it?
Well, the most common line, of course, is the shortest, as you mentioned, is the way we are doing towards the south, isn't it? Because we are in the north. But if from the north we go to North Pole and then come back to south, it's a sort of... unconventional.
But is that how the Muslims have generally come to an understanding, or is that a direction given by the Prophet or the Imam that this is how you should find the direction?
You know,
of Qibla.
In Medina, which was 500 kilometers to Mecca, it never struck the mind of the Muslims that let's do from the other side of the earth. That's several thousand kilometers.
So that was the practice, and that continued. Okay, thanks so much.
I was checking this verse in Surah Ankabut. It's yes, فَالَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابِ. You know, آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابِ is different from أَهْلُ الْكِتَابِ. آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابِ is sometimes used for those who are given the real knowledge of the book. يُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِ. They believe in it.
Sorry, any sisters? No? Brother? Number four.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
Thank you very much, Sheikh, for your tafsir. I had a question, actually, because you say in this ayah, Allah has given the instruction to change the Qibla. And there were some who accept this immediately and some who did not accept the changing of the Qibla. But then the ayah you referred to later on, that virtue is not in whether you turn to the east or turn to the west. I wonder, could you explain a bit more the context of how this is has come down? Because we have also, in the beginning, there's changing of the Qibla, and then Allah then says, it doesn't matter which way we face, as long as we do good deeds.
Yeah, that's right. You know, virtue is in following instructions of Allah, obedience of Allah. Now, if Allah tells us turn this way, of course we turn that way. But we shouldn't think that by turning that way, we have gained a virtue. By turning that way, since we have obeyed Allah, it's a virtue, all right? We should not disobey Allah. And some people, when I said they did not accept, they had doubts in their minds that how, for example, we have to change our Qibla, which the verse explains. This is a conventional thing. You shouldn't think that it's so important. The importance of it is that you have to obey Allah, okay? But you compete in real virtues. Real virtue are those inner virtues, virtues in our interaction with people. So although the Qibla in itself doesn't have a virtue, because it's a convention of Allah, wherever he says, he instructs us, we turn, but disobeying Allah is, of course, against virtue. We have to follow Allah and his instructions.
Thank you. Any sisters or brothers? Sheikh, I just want to clarify from the last tafsir session. We are talking about the faith and the iman. Because iman is different from faith. Faith is just starting the belief in Allah and the Prophet.
Between iman and Islam.
Between iman and Islam. So, before we start bringing iman on Allah, is it necessary to bring the iman on the Prophet? Because before we understand iman, I suppose the iman on the Prophet is the first step. Is it right?
You know, sometimes faith in Allah is intuitive, you know. It is in the fitrah of people. They believe in God. Even those who do not believe in any religion, many of them believe in God, okay? Of course, now the atheism has become a sort of common value between many people, but those who want to believe, intuitively they have some faith in God, and then the Prophet guides them how to believe in that God, what are the definition, the qualities of God, how to worship that God. Sometimes it's the opposite. Someone does not believe in God at all because of certain hindrances in the fitra. Then when the Prophet comes, they believe in God. They believe in him, they believe in God. So it's not the same for everyone. In Surah Ali Imran, we have Rabbana innana sami'na munadiyan yunadi lil iman an aminu bi rabbikum fa amanna. We had someone calling to faith that believe in your Lord, and we believed. Now, this belief in your Lord, it may mean two things. Firstly, it may mean that just have faith in God, believe that there is a God. This is for some people. For others who already have that intuitive knowledge of God, believe in whatever your Lord guides you. Again, because this verse certainly is for those who already have that intuitive faith. Now, Prophet is calling them towards the tenets of faith. Okay, what you should do, what you should believe in. Both of them are possible.
Because if I'm not forgetting, there is an ayah that Allah is saying to the Prophet that those people who say or something of this nature that the faith in you or the iman in you is also iman on me. Is there something like that?
Iman in what?
Iman in the Prophet or the faith in the Prophet is also faith on me. So first of all, if somebody brings faith in the Prophet and start believing, then it means that...
Yeah. As I said, it works both ways. Okay,
thanks. Any other brothers or sisters? No? Thanks, Muhammad Mahali, Muhammad Salwa. Thank you. So we continue next Sunday, inshallah? Inshallah.